Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Folks, it's now or never. Either we actually start working together in demanding full compliance to our Constitution, or we will actually watch it discarded and how we become a part of the global Borg, period. There's plenty of people that are talking about this. What I want to talk about are the solutions, but kind of left in the last episode talking about the elephant in the room. So kind of want to wrap up on that before we really start talking about the overall picture for 2022. I've already kind of told you that we need to kind of start straddling parties. We need to understand that the Republican Party, because that's who has the ballot access, that's who has control over the Electoral College currently. We need to undo all of these things. It's going to take a little bit of effort. But I know there are people, you know, from the Constitution Party and all these other parties that are going, you don't listen to this guy. Don't listen to him because he's not putting the party first. Hey, hold on a second. Isn't it time we put the nation over the party? Isn't it time that we put the Constitution first and put the party aside? I am telling you, we're really not trying to put the party aside here. What we're trying to do is strategically move so that we actually illuminate what a party really needs to be and what it needs to be focused on. It needs to be focused on the Constitution, full compliance of the Constitution. There's no party out there that speaks that better than the Constitution Party. They just need to be fine-tuned so that they are no longer designed as the rest of the parties. Yo, what do you mean, design? Yes, the real problem is in the design. Most people think, oh, well, look at the Republican Party. It has all these morals and all these good, warm-feeling things. Folks, you can go look at the Democratic Party, and it makes, you know, the atheists feel really good because they're shutting down churches and religion and all this evil dogma of religion. They're promoting communism because they have advanced that ideology in America so well. And now we're literally dealing with this clash of the two ideologies. What does that have to do with the Constitution? The Constitution doesn't embrace an ideology other than individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and individual rights. We'll get into that, but let me first, as you know, let me cover these obligatories real quick. And as a matter of fact, I'll try to do this in neckbreak speed. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And eventually I'll get into some of the things that most people always ask, well, you know, what about RepublicReview.org? Or what about that music that you use and so forth? I'm not necessarily a deep guy, but everything has to have a good tie. It's got to be really well associated. I just don't whimsically grab things. And that music that I use is very, very fitting. If you do, the song is called Fanfare for the Common Man. Go do the academic research on that particular song, and I think you can put the pieces together for yourself. I'm not that deep. Anyway, you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic and academic evidence-based solutions. And we also have, who I highly recommend, personal endorsements, not paid endorsements, for Fortitude Financial Coaching. Get control of your finances. Give Gary Smith a call. Get your kids educated. Get yourself educated and at least familiarized with the Constitution. Go to constitutioneducation.us. I am here to tell you that there are lots of places you could go, and I hear people brag about Hillsdale and some of these other places, Prager. These institutions do not expose you to the real truth of the Constitution. They don't. They don't point you to the ratification debate so you can read for yourself how the framers actually defined each of those clauses in the Constitution. They accept all sorts of things that are going on. How many times have you seen Hillsdale College address this invasion that we've been dealing with for 30 years? Why is it now that you're hearing me actually call it an invasion? I've been saying it's been an invasion for a long time. And the only reason this is going to get regurgitated or repeated by other people is when they finally realize that this is classified as an invasion. When people walk across your border without any intent to immigrate, immigration is an individually activated process. The person that wants to come here to become a U.S. citizen has to initiate the immigration process. We don't just, consider everybody an immigrant in the world, but that's what the globalists want you to think and accept. But anyway, I go down these tangents. We're going to get into all these different topics. We do, and we cover all of these things throughout the year. I do actually do focus, and we actually get through. I would probably do it a little quicker if I wouldn't go down these little tangents. But you can tell I don't actually have a script. I'm not sitting here trying. The only time I read is when I read source documents. I want to make sure you hear it exactly how they meant to say it. Don't take my word for it. Take their word for it. So anyway, Constitution classes, if you're looking for hardwood furnishings, audio equipment, bookshelves, tables, desks, timbernation.com. And I'm telling you, they're getting very, very busy. They're even having a hard time keeping up with my little personal orders and so forth. So please, get with a quality product and a quality company. It's a family-owned company. Check them out, timbernation.com. And radiodustcovers.com, just for that little bit of insurance to help protect those expensive investments of audio equipment and so forth. And so we have our comment line, 425-270-5416. So let's talk about this design. How are all parties designed? What party has full control over who are in their employ? Let's look at it as employee-employer basis. A person comes along and they say, I want to become a public servant, but we have a political system that has parties. Now, you can be independent, and not be tied to anything and not have a platform and try to get elected. Good luck. In the Democratic and Republican-controlled states, which are all of them, very few states actually have enough control to where you can actually get electors for the president. I mean, the parties may go through the motions, but you just don't have that level of support. And the problem is because all of these other parties have followed the same model. And the reason why you will never beat them is because of the model. Oh, okay, so what is the model? It's a laissez-faire model. What does that mean? Well, the party doesn't care about what that public servant really does. They just want that person to be a part of their party, because they have what we call real estate in the seats that they occupy. If that seat becomes vacant, they have first say over who is to fill that seat. Did you know this? So if all of a sudden at your state legislature, a Republican decides or a Democrat decides to resign or accept a position going into the presidential administration or something like that, then who actually picks the replacement until the next election? The party. The party that actually has the label on that seat. So how is it that when a seat becomes vacant, how can anybody compete by putting a Constitution party or a third party in that seat? They have created a lock on who owns those seats. Well, now, if that was okay, then they should actually have, the party should actually, because now we look at the party being the employer, right? And the candidate being the employee. Because now you come along, you say, instead of being independent, I want to be a part of the party because I believe that's my best chance of obtaining this position. And that is the truth. if you go through almost 90% of all elections throughout America, most people vote blindly. And when you look at the outcome of elections, the outcome of elections always occurred during the primary, because if a person's going, whoever wins that primary will basically fall right back into that seat, because whatever party really owns that real estate, just because of the paradigms of the people, that's how it's been. It's been red or blue. Now, if you've ever heard me talk about, if you've listened to my talk with the Constitution Party, we need to change that paradigm. It's from red to blue to parchment. Why? Because parchment means the Constitution. That's the metaphor we're trying to create. And so if we actually start getting people to say, you know what? And actually, look at this. Who is the real constituent of every public servant? Is it the party? Is it the voters? Who is the primary constituent for every public servant? Every public servant, before they enter office, before they can actually do anything, they have to raise their arm to the square, and they do what? They take an oath. And in that oath, they identify who their primary constituent is. Any guesses? Any guesses? Ah, yes, that's right. It's the Constitution. So technically, let's just say the Constitution Party was all about full compliance with the Constitution, then you would actually have every public servant being in compliance to the Constitution Party. You start making these connections and you start understanding how to do this. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we're talking about this design, right? And I need to go into one of the biggest problems that every party possesses. Because as I start to prove to you that the real employer is the party, because it's that label that people trust. It's that label of how people vote. And so kids are being taught today in the education system, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you need to vote Democrat. You need to be a part of the people and a part of the people revolution. You know, I poke people in the eye when I see conservatives talk about we the people, because they're using the exact same language that the leftists are using, a democratic form and a democratic paradigm. That's very, very dangerous, folks. we have to start really understanding a representative government, and that there is representation in everything. That when we look at a politician, that party that they choose to be a representative of, aren't they not an ambassador of the party? Yeah, absolutely. So we start, and I'm going to boil this down, but what I want to give you is kind of a quick high view perspective. I'm going to call people Platonists. Every once in a while, I'll slip up and I'll call them a communist. 9 times out of 10, people look at them as socialists. Socialists are transitory people that will take you into or take the government closer and closer to communism. Now, there are usually resistance points and so forth where they'll, you know, and just like in America, we have been accepting socialism just as Brezhnev or, you know, that Russian dictator back in the 60s or late 50s. He said America will accept communism through socialism. And that's what we've been doing. But it's all unconstitutional. We have to actually take a bite of the pill. We actually have to start taking the the elixir to heal us. And that elixir is independence, individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and compliance to the Constitution. Now, when I talk about Platonist, I want you to understand that it is just, you have to give credit where credit is due. The first person to pin the concept of statism and what we call communism today was Plato in The Republic. And he talks about He created a plan that was basically transformed by the Charter of the Illuminati in creating a plan of creating a global government by having teachers and elitists. And if you look at the model that society that Plato kind of used, it's exactly what they've been using. So was Plato that, you know, inspired by God, or was he that well informed, or did he actually see Satan's plan? I'll let you decide. But when I use the term Platonist, like McCain was a Platonist because he believed in statism. He was constantly going after people's individual liberties and empowering the state. And that's how he consistently voted. McCain, I have the lowest opinion of that man. And as a matter of fact, maybe I shouldn't be so judgmental, but everything that man did practically to his deathbed, he refused to admit that he was wrong. He refused to admit what he did to America and the evils that he had done. Same thing with Ted Kennedy and a lot of these Platonists. Why call them communists and give Marx and Engels this credit that they don't deserve? It's not like these men, you know, dreamed up this beautiful concept out of the clear blue. Utopian societies have gone all the way back again to Plato's Republic. And I don't think we should be aggrandizing these, what do you call them, plagiarists? These guys that plagiarize these ideas and just put their own flair on it. And they were absolutely wrong. At least in Plato's mind, and what Plato wrote in his Republic, it was more theoretical. But when Marx and Engels wrote in the Communist Manifesto that all labor is equal, he was absolutely wrong. When he put absolutes into that book, he actually put himself in a position where he could be proven wrong. And this is why it's really dangerous to actually come forward and say, this is what we have to do. Here is the plan of success. So guess who actually has a plan of success? And guess who has really been bold enough to put it out there so that everybody can attack it? Well, that's me, Republic Review. But the interesting thing is, I am not the author of it. I am only the person that owns the copyright to keep people like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or George Soros and all of these evil people that want to have control and make money turn this into a money-making endeavor. The people that own Republic Review is technically you, your representatives, because when republicreview.org is actually established and online is when we have a few states that are working together in auditing and defining and bringing the rest of the states to the table. If you don't understand Republic Review, you need to. And I put it out there so that anybody can poke their holes and challenge me, because there's a really big organization, and you hear me talk badly about them, but they like to obfuscate. They tell people, Republic Review is a door to the Constitutional Convention. It's a back door. Don't trust this guy. Well, that's just because this guy has called him out. And I understand what I am doing. And I understand there's the danger of my going after the Republican Party. I'm in the hornet's nest when we start really talking about where the globalists have hung all of their little powers and their little bastions of power or vestibules of power, whatever you want to call these little cells of power that they have. Because the party's a big part of it. So how is the party by model, by design, failed, or I should say corruptible? Because, and it's this simple, you get the person elected and you have no accountability over what they do. Now, as a corporation, you hire somebody, they become a representative of you. And as a corporation or as an entity that has actual trademark to that name, anybody that sullies your name, anybody that goes out and does something, you should be able to fire them, strip them of that. And as a matter of fact, if you really look at the party sense, legally, we need to be in the space where the party has the ability to fire the individual who is violating the essence of that party. Now, if we had a constitution party that the essence of that party was pure compliance to the Constitution, put all of the social, moral issues aside, put everything that we look at within the platform, and its only focus is these are the only powers that these seats have at the state government. These are the only powers that these seats at the federal government have. You list those powers, and if they try to vote or do anything that is outside those things, the only thing that would be acceptable outside those things is asking for an amendment, asking the people to say, give us these powers. That's all they can do. Give us these powers because we can't do it without them. Now you have the recipe for holding them fully accountable, because if they're not in compliance and doing and acting in compliance to the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, and eventually, we need to have county constitutions. We need to actually start looking into our system and actually maturing it to where it needs to be for the 21st century. But I digress. When we look at that employee, when we look at that politician and that label that he carries, how is it that Johns exist? Because there is no accountability. Now, the party censors them. No, the party should be able to excommunicate, actually remove them, and actually take them to court to say, this person was elected because they wore the party brand. It can be scientifically and legally proven that when somebody is of a specific party, they will be elected because the electorate, because the people... 80%, I'm taking a guess here, but I believe it's around 80% of the people that vote in every election, they vote blindly. They do not know who they're voting for. They only vote down the party line. This is why you see such a polarized, nation, to where, the rural area is Republican and the heart of the city, and wherever the... wherever they can put their footholds in, you'll find blue, communist, Platonist politicians, the Democrats. And so, and it's interesting, when you really look and you really zoom in, almost everywhere where you find a college, like go look at every state, and then if you drill in within the county, what parts of that county might be blue where a majority of the people voted for the communist or the Platonist? It's right around that college. Interesting, isn't it? Because we see it here in rural Washington where, you know, Pullman and some of these large colleges, because what do they teach there? They teach Platonism. They're huge endorsers of statism. So the fact of the matter is that you can actually start clarifying and delineating legally how people will vote blindly. And so this is where we really, and this is how we've gotten ourselves into a pickle by allowing this kind of power to the party, because they're driving agendas and implementing laws that are all violations of the Constitution. I'll get back with the politics and its definition by Aristotle right after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
So why is it? Why is it that the parties fail to hold their people accountable? More importantly, why is it that we, as a society, allow our public servants to get away with murder? And I mean that because what's going on right now with this vaccination fiasco, politicians, bureaucrats, and the medical industry is getting away with murder. Aristotle defined politics because he points out that politics is in everything. You put two people in a room, you now have a political clash, because it is all about compromise, and it's the art of compromise. Politics is one of those things, and the framers understood this. The framers completely understood politics, which is why they created an enumerated constitution, and they didn't create any clause in there that says, well, as long as the parties are willing to compromise, this constitution can be they can aggrandize any power, they can assume any role, responsibility, or power that they want to, as long as they compromise. The divine hand of providence is so evident in our constitution that as you start learning and as you start understanding what he understood and what these framers understood, it'll just amaze you. because there is no place in our Constitution that allows political compromise to compromise what those powers are, what those enumerated powers are. And so I submit to you that when you start looking at the party and politics, it's all about compromise and getting things done. You hear this even from the people, even from the indoctrinated people, that we got to get things done. They don't have the power to get things done. They have power to do very specific things. This is why compliance to the Constitution is the utmost important thing. This is why the news cycle and what's going on, why, you know, somebody really famous just died. Something really tragic just happened. And as long as we're sucked into that news cycle, we cannot get our head straight and start getting together and uniting and working and solving this problem, because the world is under siege. It is filled with problems. You can't swing a bat on a public sidewalk during rush hour and not hit problems. Yeah, people are our greatest problem. But my friends, I will tell you, here's the irony. People are the solution. All we have to do is go back to that fundamental premise that I mentioned, I think, on Monday. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree, because I can prove to you that the majority of America is reasonable, that the majority of America has actually, has over the history of this nation, has been willing to jump into harm's way to save others. America is a good-natured, humble people. We're willing to actually save others from the grasps of evil, whether that be Hitler, whether that be Paul. Well, actually, we didn't step in against Pol Pot, but we did step in against Ho Chi Minh. We've stepped in places and cases where people were actually being killed and or bad things were happening. Why did we step in against Pol Pot? Why did we just walk in there and stop? Why did we stop Idi Amin? Why haven't we stopped all of these? Well, to be honest with you, because evil has become so rampant and it has been so well organized of these atrocious things that our government, because many people will point to you that our government has lost its way, because we have been involved in promoting very specific things, not just for our self-benefit, but for the globalist benefit. And that's the fact. As all these dominoes get set up, certain little dominoes have to be knocked off to help clear that area so they can build a more elaborate set of dominoes to build a bigger bang. And there's a term for these, you know, these whole settings of domino, you know, shows where you, wow, you can do all of these really neat things. My father was really into those things, and he was always amazed at, you know, how long you could set something in motion to where it react. And the fact of the matter is, that's what's going on. And as long as you're caught in the news cycle, you will be caught in reacting. If you do not disengage and pull your head out of the pornographic news cycle and start focusing on what we need to do and understanding the Constitution first and foremost, this is why we go through the ratification debates. We will go through them again. We're going to cover the ratification debates, and what we'll probably do is we'll cover the basics, and then I'm going to dive into some things later on of the ratification debates, once we've gone through those, that I think are even more important to understand on the conservative side. Any of these organizations that tell you that the Constitution was a runaway convention is sullying the Constitution itself. That argument was settled by the people, and I said this before. So why is it that people are trying to resurrect that paradigm that we have? We had a runaway Constitution, because every time your children hear this, it goes into their mind that it is an illegitimate constitution. And that's exactly what the progressives are saying. Why? Why are we feeding the progressives and supporting this evil narrative? Why would a good conservative organization even be directly associated with that paradigm? Maybe, and this is where the term controlled opposition, everything has been compromised one way or another. And I am here sitting before you, letting you know that the day when people start giving me money, you need to start being very scrutinizing of me, where that money's coming from, and how that money is to be used. I believe that you can bring in money as long as the people that are giving you that money have no control or expectation. And you cannot take that money and then have some dependency upon the money. Because bottom line, that's how you sell yourself. When you become dependent, that's what welfare and entitlement and all of these types of things, that's how they steal your soul. Because you're dependent on that next fix, that next pay. You have to be able to allow that to just wash away. Because if it wasn't on firm ground and firm footing, and then what you can actually do is you can expose that organization and those people for, you know, I'm okay with them not supporting me. But the fact is that they tried to come in and blindside me after giving me support and then expecting to control me. And this is how we start exposing this. The bottom line is we're going to be getting into these basic theories that will help you understand how we can actually take full control of our government. And the First Amendment petition is going to be the biggest part of this. It's going to be huge. Restoring common law courts is another big part of this. And the way we do all of this is by creating constitutional counties. The way we create constitutional counties is we have a good constitutional organization. And wait for it, drum roll please. I believe the Constitution Party can be that organization. It's a nonprofit organization. And it's an organization that wants to educate everybody on the Constitution and teach people the importance of standing upon the Constitution. Oh my gosh. When you start really looking at it, I believe that the Constitution Party has kind of been languishing out there. But the Lord has given us these things. And as we start connecting all the dots and then start stripping across these little things that man wanted to create or man wanted to use as divisiveness, I can tell you that divisiveness has existed in every party, every family, and everything. And when we start looking at the issues and we strip them away, we start realizing that that's how we really boil things down to where we can work together, by stripping away those things that can be divisive. Don't bring your religion into it. I appreciate and respect the fact that you are a faithful person, that you go to church and you cling to these very specific doctrines. I absolutely respect that, and I embrace that for you. But don't come into an organization, unless it's your church, and actually start, you know, preaching, because isn't that why we go to church? I'm tired of going to movies and being preached to. I'm tired of listening to the news and being preached to, because they're preaching godless secular doctrine to us. And we have to start recognizing that it's all a bunch of preaching. Let's get to the basics, strip it all away, and get down to the Constitution. What are the enumerated powers? I'm asking. What enumerated powers exist within our organic Constitution and the 27 amendments, minus the one, right? One's gone. Anyway, with that, we'll be going into a break this is going to be our last segment. I want you to think about that. What are those enumerated powers? Because that's all they can be doing. We'll be right back after this.
I have been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the elephant in the room and the design of the party is the laissez-faire design. Why, though? Why do they do that? Because the party will look the other way when bad things, when these politicians are doing things that are not constitutional, but they're a part of the agenda. Now, everybody looked at, and so where was the outcry from the Republican Party when John McCain, when Mr. Platonist himself, inserted these little atrocities within, I don't know if it was the Patriot Act or was the appropriations for the military or something, where he basically demanded and put into this appropriation that American citizens could be detained indefinitely, suspending the right of habeas corpus. Now, I'm not sure if you know and understand when the federal government has the constitutional authority to declare martial law and where they can declare that. Most people don't know that it was actually defined in the ratification debates. Go read on the Constitutional Articles page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I have 3 articles. I'm writing the 4th one, and I'll end up writing a 5th one, too. But the first 3 articles, this is kind of like my book. And you don't have to buy my 1st and 2nd book. Read these articles. And what I'm asking you to do, and if you read these articles, you'll start to understand what the government can do and what it can't do based on the design of the Constitution. Now we can start seeing how the divine hand of providence has actually worked throughout the time of this nation to today. We literally have the framers speaking to us through the dust of these documents. We have the 14th Amendment that gives us the ability to remove every public servant who has failed to support the Constitution. In essence, they are committing moral perjury. Is moral perjury something that can only be done when they actually say something, when they've actually done something? No. You can commit moral perjury when you are not doing something that you're obligated to do. I am here to tell you that it's an easy paradigm shift once we all get equally informed. And the best way of getting equally informed is reading the ratification debates. It's like reading the scriptures. It's like reading the Bible. I think any good American would agree reading the Bible is an illuminating process. The ratification debates are the same way. I can't emphasize enough that if you actually highlight with yellow the anti-federalists by name, those who voted against the Constitution, you find out who they are, you find out if, and what you do, and I'll make it available. If you send me an email, I will send it to you. If I get overwhelmed with emails, I'll actually make it available. I have what I use is the ratification debates, and I'll send you to the link. You can go to theconstitutionsociety.org, and you can download they're called the Eliot Papers, where he basically compiled these ratification debates. Now, there are the thorough ratification debates and the full history of the ratification of the Constitution done by the University of Wisconsin. They want about, I think, it's either $2,000 or $3,000 for somebody to get those. I wish I had that money that I could have those. I don't have that money, but I do have what I have. And what I have is a working copy because I've gone through and formatted them and I've made them very easy for searching and so forth. But what you have to do for the first time you read them is go highlight all the statements made by the anti-federalist. Highlight them in yellow. And then you highlight the federalist with green. So every time you read something in yellow, you go, this was rejected. What this person stated was rejected by the body of the whole. In other words, it was discarded because it lacked credit or credibility. Whatever reason, it was rejected. And then when you read the green, those green things, that was what was accepted. Now what you have done in this accidental legal world is you have created what is legally binding and what is not legally binding by highlighting them that way. Now you can start understanding how the Constitution is to be defined because they defined it for us. Those are the legal terms and definitions of the Constitution. So when you have a jurist, when you have a politician, a lawyer out there injecting something that is absolutely contrary to those legal terms and definitions that were provided by the framers, and they say, and they get away with convincing us that this is how they interpret it. They don't have that power. It's one thing if it is something that is not covered. Those terms and definitions don't cover that one little minute thing. And I'm telling you, it's going to be very minute. You're going to find that they have been running rickshaw over our Constitution and driving us towards this precipice from the beginning. And it started with John Marshall. John Marshall started marginalizing the sovereignty of the states from Marbury v. Madison of 1803. Don't take my word for it. I will let you read John Marshall, who was a Federalist, who actually defined, helped provide definitions and terms to that compact, and how he actually contradicted himself from what he said in the ratification debates to how he started claiming that the Constitution was as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. This was the character of that man. Maybe he had noble intent, but he actually lied. He actually went against what he said. The only man that I was so impressed as far as the impeccable nature of this man in holding to how it was defined to the day of his death was James Madison. Now, there were other men that I just don't know as well, like Mr. Iredell, Mr. Wilson, many of these men at the different states. They were great men. But we do know a lot about James Madison, and I have no evidence. I've been told by people, oh, yeah, you know, he kind of recanted. I've yet to find that. Please send me those facts. please send me something, especially in his official capacity, because that's what really counts. It's one thing to start speculating and to start, you know, thinking theoretic space and so forth of how we don't necessarily agree with, you know, some of this, that maybe we should consider these things. But everything that Madison did in his official capacity was consistent in supporting the spirit and those terms and definitions of the Constitution. So, folks, if we're going to really, and I know that this is a lot of work, you don't necessarily have to read them. This is why I do this. So over the course, and it took me 2 months last year to go through the highlights of the ratification debate so you could hear for yourself exactly how these men described and actually contained those powers. In other words, when I say contained, constrained, made sure that there couldn't be any implication that there was powers beyond what was listed in that Constitution. And this is going to blow you away. What's even more impressive is the consistency in these states, how the Federalists, there's no way that these men had, you know, any ability to collude. So the Federalists, by making the exact same arguments or harmonious arguments regarding the limitations and the terms and definitions of that compact and how across the states there really isn't any contradictions by the Federalists. How did that happen? The divine hand of providence. I am here to tell you, the divine hand of providence, his DNA, is so rampant in the founding of this nation and especially the establishment of that Constitution. So, in understanding all of that, in understanding that, we have to start actually accepting the fact that we have to move towards full compliance. We can fix the problems later, but we have to move to full compliance. I will repeat that they have no authority to spend money, create debt on things that they have no enumerated power on. I will prove this to you, as I've already done. I will read that citation by George Nicholas and say they have no authority to do this, which means that our national debt is fraudulent. And there's a way to fix this, and the only way to fix this is by the parties to exercise their authority over their compact. We've got, if you understand the relationship, the federal government is the child government. It was created by the parents, the states. Let's start looking at things the way it really is legally and the way it was legally defined. Don't let these people who claim to be, you know, years and years of experience of constitutional law obfuscate or mislead you anymore. When somebody tells you, like a conservative talk show who's supposedly a constitutional lawyer says, listen, folks, it's complicated. It's not that complicated. This is not rocket science. Believe me, I've worked with rocket scientists, and I know how confusing they can make things. And I'm really here to help, and I'm not from the government. Folks, we need your help. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we will do this with you. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.